Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big
money at Menards. Hey everybody, Tim Miller from The Bulwark here with my colleague Will Sommer, author of the False Flag newsletter, and he's like on a generational run this week. I don't know what to tell you. His ex Twitter feed last night was making me laugh with a bunch of different crazy stories happening in the right. I guess you have a lot of fodder to work with. A lot happening in the MAGA world these days. And so we're definitely going to do Candace because I can't help myself. Okay, I need to consume more Candace. Death of Charlie. But we also have your newsletter about a fight between Laura Loomer and Tucker Carlson and some other maybe bonus goodies. We'll see how it goes. But why don't I do this, actually? I'm going to read people the lead. You know, the term of art in journalism, you know, to have a good lead paragraph and lead sentence, you're going to draw the reader in. Hijackers in California late last month made off with a truck filled with nearly 400,000 limited edition tins of Alp, the nicotine pouch brand founded by Tucker Carlson. The theft may have left Carlson fans jonesing for their tropical favorite extra high dose of nicotine, but it pleased at least one luminary of the magosphere. Talk to us about what's happening there.
Sure. So look, I mean, Tucker Carlson has a nicotine pouch company called Alp. I mean, this really is kind of like a Fast and Furious truck hijacking situation. They were coming out with a new flavor called Drifter, and it was going to be extra nicotine and extra flavor. And someone in California made off with the truck. Enter Laura Loomer, who is only too happy to see her enemy, Tucker Carlson, suffer. And she says, oh, what a tough week for Tucker. It's so tough to be Tucker. Or as she calls him, Tucker Carlson. So I use this kind of look at the broader feud between them, which is getting really ugly and starting to affect. They're kind of taking aim at each other's bank accounts, which is kind of a line you don't always cross in right-wing media.
And their feud is over Israel?
Yeah, it's over Israel. You know, Laura wants, you know, maximal Trump support for Israel. Tucker has aligned himself with places like Qatar. I mean, he's also now he's suggesting that specific Jewish groups outside of Israel, you know, caused the Iran war. He's very into the kind of this puppet master, you know, anti-Semitism.
Got it. So I just like there's no other, you know, this is not like a scorned lover situation, you know, or there's nothing else behind the scenes as we just think about the players here. This is pretty much just a proxy fight between like the MAGA anti-Semitism curious wing and the MAGA pro-Israel wing.
Yeah, kind of the extreme hawks. I mean, you know, Laura hates Muslims. Tucker has seemed to, you know, kind of soften on Muslims, and they're kind of fighting over this. But obviously in the run-up to the war and then now the war itself, you know, the stakes have gotten even higher.
Now, I've got to ask you the obvious subtext question to this, which is, do we think that Israel was involved in the hijacking?
Well, they haven't caught the thieves. Alp has put out a $100,000 bounty. They say they want these thieves caught. They say if you see cans of Alp Drifter floating around your neighborhood, your bodega, you know, give them a call because they want to crack down on this kind of stuff. Supposedly it was worth millions of dollars. So,
yeah. And Tucker pitches this as like the more masculine version of Zin.
Anyone who loves Zin and I ask them to try Alp, it's like, oh my God. Like
he's made some jokes recently about how Zin users put their nicotine pouches up their butt, while as his very masculine users have extra nicotine and, you know, like a real man, they put the pouch in their lip.
Simply an oral fixation. Nothing.
Nothing gay.
Far more masculine.
Nothing gay happening here. Okay. Well, do we have any? There are no theories out there on what's happening with the hijacking. Whether that there's a political or just a financial incentive.
So supposedly the thieves used a forged identification card. So, you know, was it an issue at the truck depot? Was it an Alp inside job? I mean, I don't think there's necessarily evidence of that, but there is a little more intrigue. You know, it's not like someone just came up with a gun. So, it seems like there's a bit of a ruse that took place.
So Laura's gone after Alp. And in addition, I guess, to this supporting this hijacking has like literally tried to go after them through the regulatory elements of her relationships. I was about to say assets with her friends inside the Trump White House, trying to get them to create regulatory challenges for the pouch.
That's right. So ALP is going through an FDA approval, and the Trump administration, I didn't know this, but they created a sort of accelerated approval for nicotine products. You know, they took over, they said, we got to get more of these pouches on the market. And so ALP is still going through that. Laura is trying to kind of mess that up for them somehow, or maybe delay it. She filed a complaint saying they aren't, in their social media posts, they aren't including warning labels for nicotine, which would violate the rules. And they have a pretty crazy social media presence at ALP, where they'll say things like, you know, RFK Jr. and Cash Patel, like, they love their ALP. And so they're kind of making it look like it's an endorsement. And then the real thing is, I mean, they really go after Laura Loomer. I mean, I think it's typically you don't have a tobacco company kind of specifically targeting individuals, but they'll say discount code Larry Loomer, which the implication is that Laura's transgender. And they'll post pictures of Laura and they'll say, you know, look at this loser. And but everyone cool is at a party eating ALP. And she's looking in from the window. So she's claiming that they're abusing their rights of publicity and sort of stealing her image to sell their tobacco or their nicotine.
Got it. I don't think that, you know, we need to be waiting with bated breath for whether the Tucker Carlson pouch gets approved by the Trump administration. Feels like that's going to be a pretty smooth effort. But good luck to Laura on that front. Tucker is shooting back also, though, going after products that Laura is endorsing.
That's right. This is interesting. And I mean, this is kind of like even a broader effort to take on, to sort of set himself up as like the only honest man in conservative media. Mm. He's going after these gold IRA companies where people can invest their retirement savings in like gold coins.
Much of the gold IRA business is not actually about selling gold at all. It's about selling massively marked up coins to people who trust the voices delivering the pitch.
As you know, I mean, this has been like the lifeblood economically for a lot of these right wing pundits. Yeah. People like Mike Huckabee, Mark Levin, Laura Loomer's in the game now as well.
In a weird way, it's, you know, gold, if you're in gold, and the market's been doing well recently, in part because of the way in which Donald Trump's destabilized things. I think that's an accident, but
he's not trying to get a payoff for people like Mike Huckabee. But, well, this is kind of where it gets interesting, which is that these companies, they do some ruses. So it's not like you're buying gold on a more traditional gold marketplace. And they're sending you the gold bars. You have to.
It's not like you're in your Charles Schwab account, you know, where you have a credible, you know, counterparty.
Exactly. I mean, in his case, Tucker claims that he was offered $20 million to endorse a gold IRA. And he said, wait a minute, how do they have all this money to splash out if they're essentially trading a commodity? They should be taking just kind of a tiny like transaction slice. Well, as it turns out, a lot of these companies have been sued for various schemes. They sell them to retirees at huge markups. Now, Tucker, he has his own gold company. He says it's the Honest Gold Company. Mm. And now he's taking aim at people like Laura and essentially saying, like, you know, they've sold you guys out. They're tricking their audience into buying these gold that is really way too expensive, or you can't really liquidate it.
Okay. Well, we'll continue to monitor that. I think unrelated, this might be maybe an area, well, partially an area of rapprochement between Loomer and Tucker. Have you seen the Tucker Carlson Network has updated their store? We're working on updating our store as well to give you guys great stuff like Capitalist Wing of Antifa and Potato Boys merch and Woke Bill Crystal merch. Tucker has updated his store. Did you catch this?
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why don't we put up some of these on the screen here. Nation building is gay. That feels like an attack on Pete Hegseth. Neocons are gay. Underneath that, for Israel. Subtle. AIPAC, an offer you can't refuse. PSYOP critic. What is that? It's kind of like the Chandler Bing version of Tucker. I think it's going to talk about it. He's like, what is that? Seriously, really? Any other thoughts on the Tucker Carlson story? It seems like he's leaning in, I guess, to just being the new Alex Jones.
I kind of like the PSYOP one. It's like, what, PSYOP disrespecter or something?
Yeah, PSYOP critic.
I could wear that. I try to criticize the PSYOPs as I see them around me.
Yeah, I don't think we'd want to support his store, but yeah, because I'm with you. And I was kind of interested in nation building is gay, but like kind of adding an exclamation point at the end. But anyway, okay. A couple of other things out there that you've been posting about. Which one should we do? What's the most fun? Dealer's choice. Do you think that we should talk about Gooning and Agartha or Tony Gonzalez or getting banned from Waffle House?
Well, you know, why don't we do Gooning and Agartha?
Okay. This was the one I locked in on the least, so I'm going to let you cook on it. Essentially, it was a young Republican group chat. You'll be surprised to learn there was some racism in there. The group chat name was Gooning and Agartha. Tell us about what that name is and what we're seeing in the chat.
Yeah. Before we launch in, let's just explain what gooning is. And again, this is going to get a little adult.
I mean, our viewers know about gooning, don't they?
Well,
maybe not.
I mean, gooning is sort of a very intense form of masturbation, where, you know, you kind of like, or so I'm told, you surround your, you know, you kind of like lock in for hours at a time.
Yeah.
And that's what gooning is.
You kind of like unlock your jaw to it, like your tongue is hanging out.
Yeah. You're sort of, you're like, so like dopamine flooded.
Yeah.
And so that's sort of a neologism. And Agartha is a sort of mystical imagination of like a Hitlerian fantasy world where like everyone's white. It's like kind of like esoteric and occult. It's kind of like what the Nazis in Indiana Jones might have been looking for.
But so it's like an kind intense white nationalist masturbation.
Exactly. I'm in my kind of like white nationalist, like Tibetan paradise gooning.
Got it. So yeah, so it's kind of like, you know, what was it? You have all the virgins, you know, for the radical Islamists. Like when they die, they go to a place, you know, with whatever the number was, 10,000 virgins. This is kind of like that, but for the white nationalists, gooning
in
a go.
Yeah, and of course the irony here is I don't think there were any white nationalists in this chat.
Ah, interesting. Tell me more.
Yes. So this was a chat that included the GOP Miami, the secretary, the officer there in that club, the Turning Point USA chapter president, I think Florida International University. So like a lot of kind of like up and coming GOP operative types, all of whom I believe were Latino, certainly a majority of them. And on Wednesday, this website called The Floridian published these chats that they were having, and really like insanely racist. I mean, tons of N-word, tons of like just really like talk about violence. I've heard from some black Republicans, or I've seen them on Twitter, people who are otherwise very pro-Trump, and they're kind of just like shocked by how various white Republicans are reacting to this coming out.
There's saying, gambling like, going on in the casino.
I mean, I saw a guy named Black Hannity is kind of his alias. He's sort of a former James O'Keefe affiliate, and someone was saying like LOL at this stuff, and this guy was like, you know, if I was a black parent, I wouldn't. Or he's like, I am, you know, I'm not thrilled to see people talking about like murdering black children. I mean, it's crazy stuff, and this is the sort of the up-and-comers in the Florida GOP. So I think, you know, and again, they're talking about gooning and Agartha. It's a big mess for them.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just reading a little bit more here. Yeah, talking about wanting to live in a place without Jews. It's interesting. You say that they weren't white nationalists. You don't mean that in the sense that they weren't literally white nationalists. You mean that like it's a lot of Latinos because it's South Florida.
Yes, I think there are Latinos who maybe espouse white nationalism.
Yeah, got it. Okay. Hitler's dream. Did you ever see the, there's a pretty good, what's it called? The Hitler meme, the movie Downfall, is it Downfall?
Mm-hmm.
And in this version of the Downfall spoof, people are telling the leader that, you know, his biggest fans in the future are like, you know, Muslims like Andrew Tate and like gay Mexican, incels like Nick Fuentes, and you know, kind of similar. I do think Hitler would be kind of disappointed in the people that have taken.
I think that was after the Miami Hail Hitler thing featuring Clavicular and the gang. Yeah, yes.
Exactly. What while we're in Florida, just really quick, we should mention the Republican gubernatorial candidate James Fishback, who's losing badly in the polls, except for notably among 18 to 34 year old Republicans, where he's winning. It gives you a sense of where things are going in this country. He has been banned from Waffle House. Why?
I mean, this is gooning? This is the decline of third spaces in this country. Mm. You know, I mean, James Fishback, as you said, he doesn't have a lot of money in his campaign. And so he's doing things like he went to some Starbucks at Disney World and he got kicked out there to do these campaign events. And then he went on a Waffle House tour. So he was going to go to every Waffle House in Florida and meet with his legions of Groyper fans. This came out because he put out a statement saying sort of regarding my ban from Waffle House, which is never the kind of thing you want to have to put out as a candidate. He claims he's been criminally trespassed from every Waffle House. So they said, you know, if you come back here, it's going to be a crime. I asked Waffle House about this because I suspect James may not be giving us all the details. And I haven't heard back yet.
Well, I wait anxiously for that report. And to our viewers, as soon as we know why James Fishback has been banned from Waffle House, we'll make sure to let you know. We'll keep on that story. All right, I want to go to Candace. We did a video. Folks can go see that if they want, about the first installment of Candace's documentary. The trio did, looking into her theory that Erica Kirk and the Mossad and the French Legionnaires collaborated together to murder Charlie as part of a decades-long plot of the deep state and foreign deep states, for that matter. Kind of globalist New World Order deep state, if you will. So we watched the first video together. Not a lot of evidence, I wouldn't say. You know, there's some interesting data points, maybe an error on her birth certificate. You know, she once dressed as a bee. That was suspicious. Her parents said they got married in a city, but we don't have any documentation that that marriage happened in that city. And it also happened to be a city where there was a military base. That's suspicious. The great-grandmother seemed to be in the gambling game. Something you wonder if it's a family thing. So that's what we learned in installment one. What installment are we on now? I've lost track.
I believe 6 episodes have come out, and still she hasn't quite proven her case, I would say.
Okay. We just wanted to pick. I'm going in blind. Unfortunately, I'm busy, and so I've not been able to watch installments 2 through 5 of Bride of Charlie. But let's just kind of check in on her. Let's see where she's at now.
So Charlie was removed, and in his place, we got a Shabbat Shaloman, not so grieving widow. This is the book my Charlie wanted you to read. He just finished it. He loves the Jews. He just finished speaking about how much he loves to Shabbat and to Shalom and to say daddy's home and to throw down his phone, Barry Weiss. It's just incredible when you think about it all. Turning Point makes people think that it's Charlie's legacy. It's not. They should rename the company. They should rename it Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom USA. And that would be a better representation of its new leadership.
Okay. So I guess this is related to, you tell me, the fact that Erica was saying that Charlie would say Shabbat Shalom to her at times.
Yeah. So after the assassination, a couple months later, they came out posthumously with a book he had written about observing the Jewish Shabbat. And so essentially, as you said, Erica, I believe in her Barry Weiss interview, talked about how, you know, he would come home on a Friday and say, oh, what a crazy week. I'm putting my phone down for a day and, you know, sort of practicing the Jewish Shabbat like that. This obviously was kind of shocking to the extremely anti-Semitic Candace Owens, who now sees the Charlie Kirk legacy, you know, this attempt to sort of make it more look more pro-Jewish. And this is sort of really irritated Candace, and you can see what she's referencing there.
I saw a tweet that I enjoyed about this, which is that Charlie Kirk's legacy is now spinning off into kind of like a sectarian fight between the Shia and the Sunni TPUSA followers, where some are aligning behind the family legacy in Erica, whereas others are aligning behind the Popular Front and Candace. So that's interesting, at least. There's one other that I saw on social media. I guess the additional data point here that we have is that Candace thinks that Erica is misrepresenting the degree to which Charlie had an affinity for Israel and the Jewish people and the Jewish faith. Is that a motive for murder? I don't know. I guess that's up for other people to interpret. Doesn't seem like it to me. But like I said, she's presented some other things. It's not a clear-eyed message. I just want to play this one other clip.
This is Erica speaking. She says, quote, Winslow has so much character. We love stopping here. And then the writer continues, she and her family have come through Winslow many times on their way to basketball games around the state that she plays in. The email we received came from a very credible person. I will leave it at that. I'm going to protect this person's identity. They said, that is BS. That is BS. They explained to me something I didn't know. Maybe you did. But in the state of Arizona, 80% of the population lives in Maricopa County. And the person went on to say, I'm very familiar with basketball. I can tell you that at most, because of the way that they structured doing teams and traveling teams, Erica would at most, if she played for all 4 years of high school, because Winslow is located 3 hours outside of Scottsdale, she would have only gone to Winslow 2 times. So this is just, her mother is involved in this, immediately flagging this as weird. How did she get involved with this hospital? Elsewhere, she says that she also loves to do charity work abroad. That would imply Erica has already been abroad, right? She's already been abroad. So was she with Lori? Did Lori and her travel to do some stuff with the military? It's a fair assumption, or it's a fair question, rather.
So there you go, Will. In this case, the other piece of evidence that Candace has is that Erica and her mother talked about how on the travel basketball team, they went through this town. But Candace has sources that played girls basketball in Arizona. And they say that really, at most, they would have went through the town 2 times. So it's possible that this basketball travel team was a front story for foreign adventurism. It's maybe where Erica was tapped by the French or the Israelis, you know, for this long con against Charlie. What do you make of that idea?
Well, I'm not so sure about that one. You know, I think this is kind of her explanation for a lot of these discrepancies, you know, whether it's the parents' divorce record or something. She kind of leaves it hanging out there. It's like, we're creating this missing time period where Erica went to Mossad camp. What happened? If I was the Mossad, if I was the French Foreign Legion running a decades-long scheme, I'm not sure Erica Kirk would have been the person I would recruit to it as a baby. But, you know, yeah.
It does also make you wonder, you know, and if the Mossad is as good as everybody says they are, and, like, you know, look at them. Like, you got to hand it to them, at least judging on military performance. I mean, the pager play against Hezbollah, very deft, you know, a plan that was very successful, decapitating all of the Iranian leaders. And it's like they've broken into the Iranian communication system. Like, the Israel military, like, kind of knows where these people are and are able to take them out. Given, you know, the capabilities that they have, it is kind of interesting that the plan here would have been to, you know, find a woman when she was a young child in a bee costume, recruit her, mold her over decades, have her marry a person that in the future you didn't even know who your target would be. Find this person, marry them, have him sire 2 children with her, and then wait for the just the right moment to have her give a tip off to a Mormon boy who comes up from the underground of a university that her in-laws have relationships to shoot him. It's a little complex, you know.
Bee cult. It's a lot of moving pieces.
It's a lot of moving pieces. I'm just saying. It feels to me like there might have been easier ways for Mossad to do this if Charlie Kirk was what they were going for. One man's opinion. Okay, Will Sommer. Anything else? What else are you monitoring? Anything else for people to look forward to? Any teasers?
I mean, I think there might be some more Fishback coming soon, you know, so some more insights there. There's a lot going on, you know. I as you said, I mean, there's no shortage of stuff to write about.
All right. We appreciate you. So everybody subscribe to the False Flag newsletter at thebulwark.com. Subscribe to us right here on YouTube. Comment. Let us know if you're seeing anything out there. We take tips. You never know. Will Sommer's interested in your tips about things that are happening in your community. Do you see any suspicions?
I know. I just got duped by someone who said he had a Candace thing for me. And I said, all right, send it over. And he said, Candace, you know, dick fit in here or whatever. And, you know, the
right. Boom. Wow. Roasted.
I know. But you know what? I got to look like a fool sometimes to get the scoop. So I'm happy to do it.
Comment your scoops. Appreciate y'all. We'll see you soon. Bye.